Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right. Happy Tuesday morning to you. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. Yes, I'm Mark. My name's on the show, and I actually made it in this morning, so it's a good thing. I was off yesterday to go to the inauguration down at the state capitol, and that was fun, and that was cold. I have to tell you, you know, whoever decided that you should do that in mid-January, outside, probably didn't think that through.
Why could it not have been moved inside?
I don't know if they've ever done it inside.
Well, why not? There are always times you can change things up. There are plenty of venues there that I'm sure would love to host that.
I saw my friend Derek Gould Good yesterday from Jefferson County, and he was reminding me. He said, "Yeah, it's cold, but I don't think there's ever been one as cold as when Matt Blunt got sworn in as governor like 20 years ago, because apparently it was single digits or something then. At least it was 18 or something yesterday. So here's the good thing about it. It was well put together, and it lasted exactly 1 hour. Like, it started on the nose at 11:30. They swore the governor in. They had it timed out to where he got sworn in right at 12 noon. He gave a speech. They gave a couple of prayers, the national anthem. The St. Louis police officer, shout out to her, and I can't think of her name, honestly, but the St. Louis police officer who sang the national anthem at Guns N' Roses and has sang at the Blues game before, I know, Carl, just crushed it. She sang the national anthem yesterday. It was beautiful. And it was just nice. So we went to the reception afterwards, not at the governor's mansion. We went inside of the Capitol building and saw the Secretary of State and the Lieutenant Governor and a few other people. So, yeah.
Eva Miller Galvin.
That's it. Yep. I knew it was a hyphenated name, but I couldn't think of what it was. But she killed
it. Guns N' Roses.
Now, how many people were even there? Is it that big of a crowd where they couldn't even move it inside the Capitol?
No.
Too big.
Well, no, it wasn't too big. I think they could have moved inside
that
the Capitol.
That makes absolutely
It's just tradition.
Forget tradition. If it's in the single digits or the teens, why would you not move it inside?
I guess because we're Midwesterners.
No,
and we're
forget
stubborn.
That.
We're stubborn.
Not buying that.
So
it's
time
to change things up.
It was a nice ceremony. Like I said, 1 hour. My toes were, I couldn't feel my toes by the time it was over with. My wife, I think, her feet were colder than mine, potentially. But it was nice, and I'm glad I went, and it's refreshing to see that. Now, the interesting thing is, my observation here is that a lot of things changed yesterday, and a lot of things didn't change yesterday. We're going to talk more about that with John Lamping coming up here at 6:35, because we have a new governor, right? We have we don't have a new attorney general. I mean, he's reelected now. He was named to the position. He's been reelected. Andrew Bailey, a new secretary of state, a new lieutenant governor, right? And a new treasurer. These things are important. The question now is, though, and the governor was already active yesterday, signing some crime legislation through executive order. Will it make a bit of difference come May? Because what matters is what comes out of the legislature between now and May. And Cindy O'Loughlin, you know, and I'll challenge her on this if we ever get her on the show, was part of the leadership team last year that allowed IP reform to drop. They promised right off the gate it would be their top priority, and they never got it done. So, again, I have questions. Let's just put it that way. Lots of big stories out there. This Jack Smith piece of garbage dropped yesterday. I mean, what are they thinking about? I got so much to say about that we'll get into all that for you coming up. We got Sue Thomas in the house this morning. Hey, Susan. I had an opportunity yesterday to listen to a little bit of the history of the Lou with Sue. That was a fantastic segment on Wrestling at the Chase.
Well, thanks.
I was, even though we had a conversation about it Friday, I still learned a lot by listening to that.
Good. Sometimes those are fun.
Yeah, I would encourage people to go back and pick up the podcast there and listen to it if you haven't heard that yet. All right, Carl, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
So when I took office, I had a choice. In my view, it was time to end the war and bring our troops home, and we did.
Yeah, and I wonder how the 13 families who lost loved ones in that debacle feel about your now confidence that was the right decision. Will this nightmare never end? I mean, honestly, 6 days is all I can say.
They got 40 million people in that state, and they're voting these imbeciles in office. They don't deserve anything, to be honest with you, unless they show us they're going to make some changes.
That's Tommy Tuberville, the senator from Alabama, and he's pointing out that, you know, and maybe politically people would say this isn't the time to say this yet, but they made a lot of really bad decisions, and they've been making them for 30 years now. Like they didn't know this was coming, I think was his point.
Should we expect workplace raids?
Yes. I wouldn't call it raid. They're based on investigation.
Tom Holman, man, he ties the left in media, he ties them in knots, is what he does. Well, are there going to be workplace raids? Well, I wouldn't call them raids. I mean, they're the result of investigations.
Mike Kehoe put 6 executive orders into effect immediately. These become state law now, and they do things like bolstering training and funding for local law enforcement.
Yeah, there you go. So that all apparently happened. Mike Kehoe said in his speech he was going to do that the minute he walked off the stage there, and apparently he did. He went somewhere and immediately signed these 6 crime reduction executive orders. Now, you know, I can't swear to you that how big of an impact they're going to have. I mean, to be honest with you, create a new regional operation to arrest known criminals, provide state grants for local law enforcement, train select officers to assist federal efforts to find unauthorized immigrants, like that one, collect immigration data on those charged with crimes. I like that one. Create a task force aimed at reducing criminal relapse. Those were the things that were signed yesterday. So we'll see. The thing that's encouraging about Kehoe is that he has promised to return control of the St. Louis City Police to the state. And I think that'll do more to impact crime in our region than anything else.
So what will it take to get that put in place? Is that something that the legislature has to vote? Okay. So yeah, he has no way of just doing that himself. It would have to be the House and the Senate.
He doesn't. Vote. But as we talked about that day when we had him on the show last week, his leadership in the legislature, because he used to be a senator, his leadership over there will be key. And, you know, the former governor, Mike Parson, great guy, guy you'd want to go out and have a beer with. I mean, just a great guy, didn't show a lot of that. He just didn't. He could have been over there working the hallways, knocking on doors, letting these legislators know where what his priorities were. And publicly, we didn't see much of that. I'm cautiously optimistic. Maybe Kehoe will do some of that. I'm also cautious because I'm concerned. The main reason that I endorsed his opponent in the primary is that I wanted somebody who would be a disruptor, and I don't think that's going to be Mike Kehoe in any way, shape, or form. But if he's serious about getting behind some of these issues, then he can make a difference. That's all I want. I want a governor that's going to be over there pounding on doors saying, this is what we want to do, and I need your help to do it. And we didn't have that before, so maybe we'll see a little bit of that now. I don't know. All right, we'll talk more about this Jack Smith report that dropped late yesterday. I mean, I see Donald Trump's blasting them in Truth Social about this whole thing. We're going to get to that for you coming up here shortly, right after our national anthem. I will say, Carl, I missed yesterday's national anthem.
And I played the women from the Atlanta Falcons game.
And our friend who forwarded that to us sent me a direct message and thanked you very much for that. And said you're the best.
I would normally play Jeremy Boyer because we have a hockey game tonight, but since you mentioned it,
yes,
I have Eva Millar Galvin.
Outstanding.
Look, let's get something in mind about the border. When I became president, the numbers came way down, number one. Number two, we had a circumstance where I pushed very hard for a bipartisan agreement to put more people on the border, more Secret Service agents. And guess what? He's on the phone saying, don't do it. Don't do it. Make me look bad.
This is Biden trying to argue that the numbers of illegal border crossings came down in 2021 after he became president. The man is delusional. I mean, who's running the world right now? It's not that guy, because he has no idea. The numbers just speak for themselves. I can't believe it. I can't even deal with it. So let's get to this Jack Smith thing. Speaking of a pile of hot, steaming garbage this morning, let's get to this Jack Smith report. A couple things here, right? First of all, when did we start releasing slanderous information that's never been processed in a court of law through our federal government to injure our political opponents? When did we start doing that? I mean, that would be my question. Like, there was no prosecution here. So when we say that a prosecutor could indict a ham sandwich, just out of interest, we say that because they can walk into a grand jury and they can present their evidence with no defense attorney there, no contradictory information whatsoever that might support the innocence of the individual. And they can convince that group of people, this person needs to go on trial for this crime. That's what this is. That this is a grand jury, an attempt to indict Donald Trump through the grand jury of public opinion. That's what this is. I can't believe Eileen Cannon agreed to allow it to be released. So this scumbag gets knocked on his butt by the Supreme Court. He goes back and rewrites his indictment and claims, of course, with full confidence that if he could just move forward, he could convict Donald Trump. He says it in his letter. I've got it in my grubby little fingers right here. Says right here, he's confident that, if he could take this to court, he and his prosecutors are confident that they could convict Donald Trump of trying to overturn the outcome of a national election.
I think this is Jack Smith just licking his wounds.
Well, it is, but why would we allow him to do that?
I agree.
Now the Trump people will tear this apart, and they'll go on conservative media and they will dispute it. But again, it's not right. because it never went to trial because the Supreme Court said it can't go to trial. So, hey, let's just release what we were going to say anyway and defame you, even though we'll never have to do it in a court of law where a judge could strike that or say that's not admissible. None of that. He's got an entire chapter in here on, and here's the title of it, just so you know. Subsection E, Mr. Trump's supporters attack the United States Capitol. And he goes through here in detail on how Donald Trump told the crowd, a crowd of his supporters the night before, he was angry. He told an angry crowd at the Ellipse, I'm sorry, Jack? You don't know Jack. I was at the Ellipse. That was not an angry crowd of people. He told the angry crowd, if you don't fight like hell, you're not going to have a country anymore. The angry crowd. What he said was, if you're going to march down to the Capitol, go down there and do it peacefully. That's what he said to the crowd. I was there when he uttered those words. And we're not letting you get away with these lies after the fact just because you're going to have to go back and wear your ugly blue robe in Brussels or wherever the hell you came from. I don't know. What a mess. Why do we allow this crap to happen in this country? Six more days. That's all I can say. We're going to get to Kim on a Whim right after this. Stay tuned.
Kim on a Whim.
Hey, buddy. Hey. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm so much more relaxed. Thank you, Helen. I just feel like I'm excited and I feel relaxed and I'm ready to party with the best of them. And I'm gonna go down to the river.
I think that's one of my favorite scenes. Carl, I know you know what that is from. Mark, wait, don't say it. Do you know?
Mark? I don't.
Bridesmaids.
Oh, yeah.
You've seen that movie,
yeah,
right?
I have seen it.
Kristen Wiig.
It's been a long time since I've
Maya
seen
Maya Rudolph, they're on the plane. Melissa McCarthy.
Now, she's not drunk, but she's obviously acting drunk. It was because Kristen Wiig doesn't like flying. She was really anxious, and so the other girl who kind of comes off as snotty and pretentious gives her some more or less anti-anxiety pills that make her act drunk. That's a problem on flights. And I've been seeing more and more stories about this where people are getting in fights with other passengers or they're fighting with the flight attendants. There was actually a situation not too long ago with Ryanair. And if you're familiar with that, it's a very popular airline in Europe. When I lived there, well, I actually did for a few months. I studied abroad. But when I was in Europe, that's such an easy way to travel from country to country.
It's a Spirit
Ryanair.
Or Frontier or JetBlue.
Right.
Type.
It's a very affordable way to get from country to country. Well, anyway, they're begging the airport bars to enforce a 2-drink limit because they say that there was a very unruly passenger who it was so bad that they actually had to divert to a different area, and then they were delayed overnight. And so now they're suing the passenger for just over $15,000.
The airline is?
The airline is.
So is this in Europe?
This is in Europe. I agree. I agree with this. I think that because their point is, like American Airlines, for example, they tried to say we don't want to serve people more than 2 drinks in economy on the plane. But Ryanair's point is, well, sure, we can control that on the plane, but we can't control what you're doing at the airport. And you could be looking at this like, let's booze it up in pregame and let's have 10 drinks before we even go on the plane. And then you're that person who's acting crazy and causing the entire flight to have to divert somewhere else.
I am not even beginning to defend people getting too drunk before getting on airplanes. But I will say this, in America, you will never convince those bars to limit the amount of alcohol they sell to people because they charge $12 for a beer and they're making a fortune off of it. I've long complained that, I mean, the airport might be able to enforce that when they do the contract, but they have to pay so much money for the rights to that space that they charge an arm and a leg for a hamburger and a beer. I mean, it's ludicrous. So I don't think they would ever agree to that. I mean, they might not be able to afford to do business.
Maybe this will fly in, no pun intended, in Europe.
People sit there and get hammered before these flights. Now, I've never understood that. I'm not saying that, like, on a getting ready to leave on a vacation, everybody's in a good mood. If you drink, you might want to go to the bar and have a couple of festive cocktails before getting on an airplane. But for the people who are that have life-altering anxiety about flying, take a pill or something.
Right.
I'm sorry.
I would say let's not turn to alcohol.
I do not get that. It leads to so many problems.
I'll just tell you, I would be extremely frustrated if I'm trying to go somewhere and I had to divert. We had to land and stay overnight because of some crazy person who couldn't control their drinking. I would be so angry about that. Think if you were flying somewhere and it was an emergency and your parents dying and this is like they're in the hospital or you're trying to see your kid and some idiot, again, overdrank.
Well, people are pretty self-centered.
You know, what is interesting to me is, like, you think about, remember that whole situation with the Mizzou student in Nashville and the guy basically just disappeared and then they later found his body in the river? Remember that? It was a several-day search for his body. And they were going to all the bars and they were asking how much they served. Did you overserve him? At what point is it just he should take accountability for how much he's drinking? I don't blame the bars in that case for overserving him. I think he's a grown man. He needs to take accountability for how much he's drinking. You know how many patrons there are, especially in Nashville, where you have 3- and 4-story bars. There's a live band on every single floor. It's dark. It's loud. I've been there. How are they supposed to? And some people don't show how drunk they are. How are they supposed
reasons,
to know?
They've been sued before.
But they also
said that they didn't serve him. They turned him away.
If someone is belligerent, I would say, don't serve him. But there are people who can probably be belligerent, but they don't really show it. You know what I mean?
But to me, in a court of law, the question would always be, which drink did it? Like, if he was drinking at a tailgate party before he went to the bar, how do you know that it's not the fifth of vodka that he drank at the tailgate party that got him out of his mind before he went to the bar and had one more vodka and cranberry and that was it?
That's right. And then are you going to blame the bar?
I don't know, but my back to the airport thing, I that might fly in Europe. I can't see them ever instituting something like that here. In fact, COVID changed everything. Do you know that? Like at Lambert, like my mom used to want to have a Bloody Mary before she got on an airplane.
Yeah,
and she still flew.
Yeah,
right?
I like that.
It calmed her nerves. If it was 6 in the morning, it didn't matter. If she was getting on an early flight, she wanted to have a sip of something. Well, she was in a she was having to leave on a, I don't know, 7 or 8 a.m. flight. I'm going with her. I'm flying somewhere with her. They changed the rules so that you can get your cocktail to go and take it to the gate and sit over there and sip it by the gate.
Not on the plane, right?
Just not on the plane, but you can carry your drink to the gate and sit in that. I guess that's still the rule. I mean, I don't know that they changed it back, but that was during COVID. So,
well, for argument's sake, let's just theoretically say this would be enacted here in the United States. Would you support it?
A two drink maximum at a, no, I wouldn't support that, because I could easily drink 2 beers or 2 bourbon and cokes and be completely in control. I could drink 4 and be completely in control. I'm not saying I could drive, but I'm not there to drive the plane. I'm there to fly on it. I don't know that I would support that.
I think I would.
You're having to support it because of 1 or 2 jerks?
Yeah, I don't know. To me, it's something different. Like, I'm not a crazy nervous flyer, but if there's a little bit of turbulence, I don't like it. And you're 30,000 feet in the air, and I don't mess around with that. And if you're going to have, I'd rather them cap it than have some person who's going to be disruptive and cause something to happen with the plane. Like, that's just very, very scary to me. The thought of you being that high in the air and some idiot, you know, who failed to control themselves starts acting up.
I think if they just approved pot cafes at the airport, then you wouldn't have this problem, right?
They'd all be mellow.
Would calm them all down.
Well, they just let everyone snort cocaine maybe, you know?
Yeah.
Just give them all the drugs. And heck, I mean, there are states where you can do that, where coke is legal. Which state is that? Out west.
There's not a place.
I thought there was a place where, like, everything was legal. Like,
no,
it was crazy,
so.
All the things
Oregon
that were legal.
I think they were giving away needles, weren't they? But they didn't
legalize. I thought one state out west had legalized somehow like more than...
Like mushrooms
or something? Yes, mushrooms. Like something that would
really... Several have tried that.
It's not cocaine.
It's obviously not cocaine. But I thought that there was something where it was like, okay, this is clearly... We've swung the pendulum too far.
Who knows? Some of these people might have taken some hallucinogen before they got to the airport. And
that's
it's not
true.
The drinks at the bar that did it to them.
That's true. I mean, just like you said, you could down a fifth of vodka and then go to the bar and then, have one drink. And then they think that, well, the bar, you overserve them. No, I'm sorry. It was the fifth that they pre-gamed with before they went out.
If I want to go to an airport bar and spend $80 on three drinks, that's my business, not your business.
What a waste. I mean, come on. God, the airports
so
do
ridiculous.
Really overcharge.
It can be medically prescribed in Oregon.
What, Coke?
Yes.
Really?
I don't know how or why that
gosh.
Would
be.
I'm telling you, I thought that I knew there was a state where like crazy stuff was
they just put it back
somehow
on,
legal.
If they just put it back in regular Coke, we'd have a lot fewer problems in this country.
I'm just kidding.
It's a joke. That was a joke. All right. We'll get to a quick break here. They've released a few more details on the inauguration coming up on Monday. We're going to get to that here in just a few minutes. Stay tuned.
I will continue with Be Best, and also I will expand Be Best. I started in the first administration. I didn't have much support from anyone. I invited all of the streaming platforms to the White House. I had the round table, and I didn't have much support from them. And imagine what we could do in those years if they will rally behind me and teach the children and do protect them about the social media and their mental health.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, like, we knew that happened, but to have to hear Melania remind us about it, about how much headwinds they got when they came into the White House. Like, they did nothing to cooperate with her at all the first time around. Like, even did things to make it more difficult. What a bunch of jerks. And I wouldn't be surprised to see them do that again this time, except that the Trumps have been there and they know what to do when they get there now.
So what does Melania want specifically with the social media companies and children? Does she just want restrictions on them?
I think she's interested in more restrictions on it.
Yeah.
I don't know that she'll achieve
that.
Like
an age cutoff or restrictions on content? Do you know?
I don't know, but I think Barron is her chief advisor. So,
well, Barron was also chief advisor for Trump. Wasn't he the one who told him to go on Joe Rogan's podcast? He said,
he was.
He's a big deal. He's cool. You have to talk to him.
Well, Rogan, and there was another one he suggested that he go on. I can't remember which
one it was. Yeah, some podcaster, I thought.
Yeah, yeah. Vaughn, is that his name? Theo Vaughn?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think he wanted to go on there too. So, well, this was big news. Country star Carrie Underwood performing America the Beautiful at the inauguration. That's big news. And she's being blasted on social media for it.
Why?
How dare you perform for Donald Trump? Like, people are asking her what she's thinking and blah, 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 blah. And she's going to go on and sing America the Beautiful with the Air Force, the Armed Forces Chorus, and the United States Naval Academy Glee Club. Who knew that was a thing? And they're going to perform. Christopher Macchio is going to perform the national anthem.
You know, she is a Christian conservative.
Yes.
Her husband, Mike Fisher, who is a former Nashville Predators player, he can be a little outspoken on things. I mean, when I lived in Nashville, he would speak out. So no. I don't think it's a secret that they're. Conservative.
I don't think she was active in the campaign,
right? No. She was absolutely not active.
Yeah.
But if you follow her, they are definitely, I would say, Christian conservative.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised by it. I was surprised by some of the social media reaction to it. Here's the other thing about it is that they've announced a few of the more of the details. And this is kind of cool for me personally. One of my high school district bands will be there because the vice president is from my hometown of Middletown, Ohio. And I was in the Middletown school district. I went to school at the other high school. He went to Middletown. I went to Monroe, which is fine. We had a little rivalry there, but we knew all of them, so it didn't matter. And he's invited their marching band to participate in the parade.
I saw that. That was cool. There's also a band, I think, from Springfield, Missouri.
Oh, is that right? That's cool.
Vance wants to leave and then go watch the national championship
game. Yeah, that's a challenge because the national championship game, what poor timing. Why the hell did the college football playoff, why did they do that? They had to know what that day was, didn't they? They knew it was a holiday. Maybe they just thought of it as MLK Day.
Isn't there some like inaugural ball? Vance will probably request some TVs to have the game on.
Three major inaugural balls: the Commander-in-Chief Ball, the Liberty Ball, and the Starlight Ball, where President Trump will attend all three of those and make comments right when he's there. So, that's part of what they're doing and. I thought it was pretty interesting. So Muriel Bowser, remember Muriel?
Oh, yeah.
Muriel Bowser. She is the mayor of Washington, D.C. And Muriel Bowser has released a list of things that are not allowed on the Capitol grounds. The Capitol Police and Muriel Bowser wants you to know all these things that aren't allowed on the Capitol grounds. Like they think if there's going to be, if all these people that show up for Trump's inaugural try to raid the Capitol building, if they just prevent them from carrying these things, that will stop that from happening. I mean, this list is extensive and really ridiculous. It goes far beyond regular security that you might experience over at the Enterprise Center. Which building is it where you have to have a clear purse to get in?
That used to be Enterprise Center.
Is that Bush now?
Yes.
Okay, Bush Stadium does that. You can't have balloons. You can't have bicycles. Oh, by the way, you can't have on body armor. Like, this is on the list of things you can't have on the Capitol grounds on Inauguration Day. I'm really glad they told me I couldn't bring my body armor. Commercial audio video recording equipment. You can't have that. And tripods. Duffel bag. Oh, by the way, you can't have explosives of any kind, just so you know.
Well, then why even go at this point?
I know. It's ruining it for me. You can't have firearms. Those are banned in D.C. anyway. Handcuffs. No handcuffs. No zip ties. You can't have any of that stuff on you. Just in case you're wondering, because you know that could be dangerous.
Are they going to strip search people to make sure that they don't have all these things?
I don't know. You can't bring seat cushions.
What?
If you're attending the inauguration at the Capitol next Monday in 15 degree weather, that's how cold it's supposed to be, and you have one of those hot seats that you take deer hunting with you that you can stick under your butt, that's supposed to warm up your rear end a little bit while you're sitting there for hours in cold weather, you can't carry one of those onto the Capitol grounds. It's on here. No seat cushions. You can't take any of that stuff with you. And you can, no toy guns, by
just
the way.
Cancel just cancel your trip now, wondering. Mark. This isn't even worth it.
No toy guns. I may not even go. I'm telling you. Wow. Coming up next hour, we'll talk to a former Senator John Lamping on maybe his observations of the inauguration ceremonies yesterday down in Jeff City and just how deep the swamp really goes. We'll be back.
Get more at 971talk.com.